Hi, Mary. Hi, Lou. Hi, Murr. Here comes the colonel.
Oh, yeah. Once again, people sneaking in here from the studio down the hall in the building that we share with the auditions for Comedy Central, coming in here to make fun of a serious science program. Okay. And people actually think it's funny. I don't know what's funny about this at all. It isn't funny to me. Anyway, welcome back. Second half hour, the promise of tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. Remind those of you who are listening on radio, you can hear us commercial-free online at promiseoftomorrow.biz anytime. And, of course, we're going to get back to our interview with Peter DeNagy. Peter DeNagy, the president of Internet of Things America, LLC, focused on managed IoT, Internet of Things, in rural America, with information that I never heard before. So fascinating things with a farmer and how IoT is going to help with that. Peter's going to be speaking at the Metricon conference, which is produced by IEEE and sponsored by Lockheed Martin and Encore Electric Delivery. It's going to be held the 7th of November at the Hearst Convention Center. That's about halfway between Dallas and Fort Worth, so it'll be easy to get to. You can find out more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you're going to see a link. So in just a minute, we're going to get to Peter. He's going to tell us why IoT can be so important for the farmer. And also a pressing question. I want to know what's going to happen with all the workers that are going to be put out of work because the robots that are coming on us so rapidly right now. And this is going to cause a lot of unemployment, maybe. And then how are we going to compensate these people for the work that IoT is going to be doing for us? So, anyway, and of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason right now. Let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set. We need to work around here a little bit in the coin jar because we've got to feed the fountain. And he's going to, for today's query, we'll get a question. We want to stump the spirit of the fountain.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
Yes. See, we have aroused and awakened the spirit of the fountain because we threw in the coins. Okay, oh spirit of the fountain, tell us, please, what coastal city was the seat of government for Georgia while it was a British colony, huh? What city, the seat of government for Georgia when it was a British colony?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
Yes. The spirit of the fountain knows, and you probably do too. That was an easy one, wasn't it? Coastal city, the seat of government for Georgia? Well, it was a British colony before our revolution. If you said Savannah? Yeah. That's about the most important a coastal city in what is now the state of Georgia. Okay, all right. Let's get back to our program. So there we have it, the sweet sounds of the Science News Radio Network studio band right here in our studio. And I think that the tune they were knocking out there was String of Pearls, if I remember correctly. We're going to get back to our interview with Peter DeNagy. He's the president of the Internet of Things America, LLC, focused on managed IoT, Internet of Things, out rural America. Fascinating things to say. And he is going to explain to us once again as he did in the first half hour, why IoT is so important for the farmer. And then I want to ask him what we're going to do with all these IoT is doing work that we used to do. And it's coming on us like a freight train, very, very, very rapidly. And we always had the concern, of course, in the Industrial Revolution, what was going to happen with the jobs. And the jobs did change. Buggy whip manufacturers went out of business. So did wheelwrights. And so did people that cut the lumber to put on the rafts, went out to the riverboats so that they could, apply the Mississippi and the Missouri. All those jobs went away or changed or morphed or did something, and the automobile industry comes along. So we've got a history of doing that, but now IoT is coming on so rapidly. The question is, you know, what are we going to do with all the unemployed people? And so I'm going to ask him that question, too. So anyway, if you listen to the first half hour, you learned about how IoT is going to really help the farmer. And I would like Peter Dinegi to repeat for us again exactly what he means by that, and then let's get on to some more pressing questions.
IoT is complex. We are trying to take the complexity out of IoT for rural applications so that farmers, ranchers, small towns can go and focus on what they do best and leverage IoT to improve their yields by 10 to 30%.
Wow, that's quite a vision. Well, put on your futurist cap for just a minute and look down the road. I know you must do that because you're in the business of solving these problems. What do you see 5 years down the road, or even 10 or 20?
So 5 years down the road, you know, I see a connected community of farmers that are leveraging a mesh of of sensors that provide them information that they can go and manage. I see them going and utilizing the farmhouse candidly as a command center. Autonomous vehicles are very real in rural America. As a matter of fact, they, you know, while sensor connectivity has been lagging, the autonomous vehicles, you know, R&D for tractors and farming equipment has been actually leading the pack, and autonomous tractors are in the field today. So I actually see the farmer being an analytics engineer, going and you know, leveraging his automated fleet of services to go and deploy deploy what's needed to increase the yield on the farm, whether it be water, whether it be fertilizer, whether it be pesticide, whether it be some harvesting capabilities. And I also believe that you're not going to see farmers going and making capital purchases on these equipment anymore. I'm going to say, I think, a farmer, she will look at, and by the way, I'm trying to intersperse men and women because there are a lot of great women farmers too, right? I think she's going to go forward and, put together a capability to pay for tractor and reaping and tilling services on a SaaS basis, right? So I need this tractor for 3 days, and they're going to go forward and do, in essence, an Uber type of a buy. I'm going to need this type of spraying service, and they're going to be able to go forward and buy services on demand. And I think that's coming to the farm as well.
All right. Well,
a managed service model is going to be very big.
All right, I've got a tough question for you. It's something I'm asking all the IoT guys that I'm talking to, and you may not have an answer, and that's okay, but I really need to bring it up. Big discussion I had with people over coffee this past weekend, and what are we going to do with the people that are unemployed because of IoT? I mean, we're vast numbers of people losing their jobs. Will there be new jobs created for these people, or will some sort of a guaranteed income because of taxing the IoT capabilities be put in place? How do you see that?
It's a great question. It's a question that's been asked for hundreds of years. You know, over the period of the last hundreds of years, as we have gone and innovated, people have always asked, well, what happens when I take my factory and I stop building cars and I do an assembly line? And what happens when I take my factory and I stop, you know, using the assembly line and I start using robots? And what happens when I outsource my labor to India? You know, well, the same metric holds true in farming. You know, right now, one of the big crises in farming is they can't get enough labor now to go and do the harvest, okay? Especially since, you know, we are now restricting migrant workers to come into the United States. We're actually losing crops because we don't have enough people to go and harvest. You know, I don't know if you read this recently, but in Maryland, the crab crop, they had half the yield because they don't have people to go and do it. We have a manpower issue in rural America, so I think automation and mechanization is actually going to solve a big problem that we currently have. It's a huge issue, and there are just not enough people to go in the field and harvest. There are not enough people to go in the field and do the work. I mean, this is not work that, you know, you know, your average millennial actually wants to do, and automation is good. So I think it's a great thing. We have fewer farmers now, and we're going to have fewer farmers in the future because people want to move to cities, yet people want to eat. I think it's ideal for the farm.
Oh, great insight, Pete. You really have, and I'm going to ask for a little more insight from you before we get out of here. But you told me at the beginning of this off mic that you're an old timer like me, and you've certainly been mentored in your career, and you're now doing mentoring. That's probably most of what you're doing with your associates. Do you have a word to live by? Do you have maybe a creed to follow? We can pass on to coming generations on words to live by.
I do, actually. You know, I think about this a lot. I'm on the board at SMU for big data. I mentored a couple of tech incubators here in the Metroplex, and I'm the former chair of the IoT Forum for North Texas, as well as being an advisor on IoT for the Telecommunications Industry Association. So I do a lot of that type of work. And what I tell people is really simple. I live my life by, you know, a very simple phrase. If I do good, I'll do well. So I try to inspire everybody to go and do the right thing and do something because it's important. One of the reasons that I was attracted to starting Internet of Things America, IoT America, was the fact that there is an underserved market that we must importantly enable to go forward and help people, right? I mean, imagine, you know, much of the crops that we grow today are wasted in supply chain. If we could enable the supply chain to go and, you know, deliver more effectively using IoT, we'll have less crop waste. You know, much of what we do right now is we have to shepherd our water resources. Again, 70% of all water is used in agriculture. In California, the biggest user of water are actually the almond and walnut crops in California. Most people don't realize that. If we can manage that effectively, you know, we could be good stewards to all of our people on the planet.
Okay. Pete Denege, the President of Internet of Things America. I'm going to be a guest speaker at the Metricon Conference. If you want to know more about that, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. And in the meantime, plan to see Pete at the Metricon Conference going on to the Hearst Convention Center the 7th of November. We really look forward to hearing your presentation, Pete. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for your time, Colonel Mason.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, back with you here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. I've been reading here in R&D Magazine. This is a fascinating publication. If you have a chance to subscribe to it, you can get it online. And we get a lot of our news tips from R&D, so we're so glad to have them in the neighborhood. This is a study out of Indiana University and printed in the recent issue of R&D Magazine, that a proof of concept phase two trial by an international research team has found promising results for a myostatin antibody, and get this, in treating the decline in muscle mass and power associated with aging. And that is particularly interesting to me, since I am losing a little muscle mass with my aging. Anyway, according to this particular article in R&D Magazine, myostatin is a natural protein produced within the body that inhibits muscle growth, said Stuart Warden. He's a member of the research team, who is also associate dean for the research and associate professor in the School of Health and Rehabilitation Sciences at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. It's been hypothesized for some time that inhibition of myostatin may allow muscle to grow, resulting in improved muscle mass and physical performance. Now, the current study confirms those beliefs, says Stuart Warden. In the study, it seems that injections of myostatin antibody made by Eli Lilly and Company over a 24-week period resulted in an increase in lean muscle mass and improved performance on tasks requiring muscle power in patients older than 75 with low muscle strength and low muscle performance and a history of falling. Woo-hoo-hoo. Imagine all the good this can do for our older community. Warden said this is the first study to show that myostatin antibody treatment improves performance on activities requiring muscle power. And Warden goes on to say that muscle power refers to the ability to generate muscle force quickly. During aging, it is lost more rapidly than muscle strength, contributing to disability, falls, reduced quality of life, and in some instances, death. Close quote. And then he goes on to say that myostatin antibody treatment improves muscle power in the elderly, as indicated by improvements in the ability to climb stairs, walk briskly, and rise repetitively from a chair. And Warden said the treatment particularly benefited those who were most frail at baseline, a population who may not be receptive to conventional interventions such as resistance exercise. Baseline? Frail at baseline? A population who may not be receptive to conventional intervention such as resistance exercise? Yeah, that's the big E word, isn't it? Exercise. How many times do we get into the exercise word? Oh, I know, I know, I know. My doctor tells me all the time I need to exercise. Exercise? Who has time to exercise? That's one of the big problems. I stayed at a hotel recently in a place called Rosenberg, Texas. I don't know if you've ever been to Rosenberg, Texas. Fort Bend County. Not as backwards as it used to be, I guess. But anyway, nice suite at his hotel in Fort Bend County. But they had a weight room not far from my room on the first floor. And for some reason, somebody decided that the E-word was appropriate in the middle of the night. And we could hear barbells, and we could hear all kinds of noises. I thought the place was going to fall down. And I'm thinking, there are some people who really do like to exercise. You know? I don't know any. I don't know anybody like that. Maybe it's you. Maybe you like to exercise. Anyway, we call it the E-word, exercise. Well, Warden said the current study provides proof of concept evidence to proceed to the larger studies that are required to demonstrate whether myostatin antibody treatment improves quality of life and reduces falls and their consequences during aging. He added, this is an important and exciting first step, and it would be an important and exciting first step for me, because I hate to exercise. And we know, you know, exercise, everybody says exercise and red wine. Well, the red wine part is easy. I get that, you know. Red wine is really, really, really easy. Incidentally, I heard reported that the grape yield in France, in the Champagne region of France, is earlier and is more productive than ever before. The people that are harvesting these grapes is said that they're doing it as much as 2 weeks earlier than it used to be. And I don't know, but one might suggest that that's because of global warming. Do I dare say global warming? I tell my friends, they say, you're a science news reporter. I say, yeah. And they say, well, that's a lot safer than what you used to be when you were an investigative reporter and people were taking pot shots at you. And I said, yeah, but that's right. But if you want to start a big fight, mention global warming. We did a series of programs on global warming a number of years ago. Four-part series, and I think it may still be archived at our website. And it started out to address the people that are doubters, and there are plenty of them. We hear President Trump is a doubter. I don't know if he's still a doubter. I guess all you have to do is look at the intensity of the hurricanes that are hitting right at the moment to wonder if that's really the case. So we do see the, you know, oceans rise and the intensity of hurricanes and everything else. So those who are doubting, you know, I guess they're going to continue to doubt. But it looks to scientists like global warming is real. Anyway, I thought you'd find this interesting, this bit about the muscle strength and for aging. And so we're going to follow this, I hope, that it brings us some decent information. We appreciate you being with us today and hope you will join us every week as we explore the exciting world of the world of science. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
No matter what your heart tells you to do in terms of discipline, follow that. But don't limit yourself to only one discipline. It's always good to know what are the problems that other disciplines are trying to solve, and you never know how important your view can be. I'm Delilah Mayraby. I'm a faculty at the University of Massachusetts. I am the director of the CMINES, that stands for Computer and Machine Intelligence Networking and Distributed Systems.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
You live tomorrow, 'cause you know it will be there. I am waiting for you.